The date is Sunday, July 19th, 2020. We're a few days before Rosh Chodesh Av. This is Aaron Rakefet. Unlike the previous 40 years when I was always in the States at this time and speaking and doing and meeting and being with my friends, students, colleagues, this year Corona has slaughtered us all, even to walk around. I have to walk around with a mask, as you know. I just took it off to be able to speak clearly. There are two other people in the room, but both of them are quite a few meters away from me in accordance with our regulations. This has been a very trying and difficult, challenging period on many levels. Those of you interested, right after Pesach, when I began the Shiurim Zoom for Yeshiva University, the very first year, I dealt with Corona and how I understand it. And anyone interested can hear that shiur. I can tell you what I said then. I wouldn't change one syllable. And others have quoted it, sometimes correctly, sometimes incorrectly. I'm still waiting for an apology from Jewish Press. And you can tell them that. But nevertheless, I stand on every word I said. Today's shiur is a different shiur. It's in honor of Shvat Ami, Russian Jewry, American Jewry. And I want to deal with a very serious problem, chopping off the heads of statues. I needn't elaborate or say one further word, but I want to deal with it from the point of view of our tradition, the V'Hashem Zu Halacha, our Mishnah, our Gemara, our Rishonim, etc. We have a very fascinating Mishnah, Psachim, Perik Yud, Mishnah Dalet, where the Mishnah is discussing the Seder, probably one of the high points of the Torah year, that the Rev used to speak two nights a year, that created his entire understanding, Hashkafa, philosophic viewpoint on Yiddishkeit, Yom Kippur night, and Seder night. And here the Mishnah that I just quoted, Perek Yud Mishnah, tells us about the questions that we encourage the child to ask. And then the Mishnah says, Lefidaiton shel ben aviv melamdo, matchil bignut, umesayen bishvach, vedoresh mayarang miyoved avi, ad sheyigma kol hapasha kula. And here the Mishnah's Chazal, the heart of Torah Shemal Peh, tells us we begin with not such a happy situation. We describe where we came from. Embarrassing. See in a minute how we spell it out. And we show what we overcame and what we achieved. And we finish with shvach, happiness, exultation. Wow. Ashreinu shezachinu, through our own efforts, hard work, vision, sacrifice, u'b'ezrat Hashem. And the Mishnah tells us we begin with the very, very beginning. Avadim hayinu lefara b'mitzrayim. Yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu mishambi. Ad chazaka b'zroen et tuyah. V'ilu lo chotzi ha-kadosh baruch hu et avoteinu mi-mitzrayim. Harei anu uvaneinu uvaneimaneinu mishu abadim hayinu lefara b'mitzrayim. And the Baal Haggadah, Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, they spell it out and stress, don't forget how you began. You were slaves. You were inferior. You were second rate. You were primitive. You were caught up in Memtet Sharei Tuma. That's how we began. And that's what we had to overcome and develop ourselves to reach the plateau that we later have, Matan Torah, Knisa Eretz Yisrael. I want to quote from the Haggadah of Pesach. The parish is called Minchat Ani. It's Reb Yaakov Ettinger, who was the Av Beit Din of Altona, a very famous German Rav of the 19th century, the first part of the 1800s, the Rebbe of Rav Simson Rafal Hirsch. And he raises in his parish a question, why does the Baal HaGadah have to stress, Harei Anu V'Neinu V'Nei V'Neinu M'Shuk, oh, it's necessary, we would be slaves. If we have to spell it out, we, our children, our grandchildren, in my case, my great-grandchildren. And he says the Baal HaGadah wanted every generation, this is not ancient history, you have to feel it, you have to experience it. We began as slaves, we would have remained slaves, but with the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we forged ahead and achieved. We, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, each generation has to feel the responsibility. This is not just ancient history. And if you want to go further, go into the Haggadah. It's spelled out even more clearly and more embarrassing. It's one thing to be a slave. It's another to worship idols. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu, va'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avadato. We were idol worships. Ad kedei kach. This is how we began. This is Terach, the father of Avraham Avinu. This is what we come from. This is what we had to overcome. These were the vicissitudes. These were the challenges. And Baruch Hashem, you don't forget your past. It enhances your future when you recognize what you can achieve. And there's a beautiful Ramban. I call it to your attention in Sefer Shmot. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Bet, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. And let me clue you in with the question, with my own experiences. You all know that this past June 29th, actually, I extended the Kol Lel year by 2 weeks. I actually gave as many shiurim this year as I gave a year ago. I paid back for what we lost due to the corona after Purim and until YU could establish the Zoom after Pesach. And 61 years of teaching Torah, Baruch Hashem, not a small matter. Didn't begin on the level I teach today. But Baruch Hashem, we rose, we achieved, we were challenged, we responded. But we don't forget our past. So I once, in class, I want to know my students. And I always go with the viewpoint, give me your real name. I don't want to talk to Yaakov if everybody knows you as Jake. When your wife and your friends call you Jake, it speaks to your heart. When I talk to Yaakov, no, Mimela, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov your grandfather. I want the real you. So occasionally I had a girl, wonderful student, our lives interacted, she and her husband, and brought them an aliyah, and she was always upset with me, came an aliyah, and she perhaps had a right to be, and I called her by her original name, Glenda, and she would correct me, Rebbe, my name is Sahava. I said, look at the Ramban that I just cited to you in Pashat Bo and Shmot. Tell you the Ramban in a second. I have a student that I only know since 1962. I met him first when I came to Maplewood, New Jersey. It's ancient history. No one believes me anymore, but it's a fact. I built the first Orthodox shul in suburban Essex County. And one of the lay leaders of the Torah community in Newark, Essex County, was this individual, and I knew him as Herbie. He knew everyone called me Ani, my friends, etc. And many years later in Yerushalayim, he comes to my Sheyurim, devoted student, and I call him Herbie, and suddenly I'm corrected, Chaim. All right, who's right, who's wrong? I meet occasionally old-timers that I know from the year one, from Bnei Akiva, from Talmudical Academy, from Yeshiva College, even from Solanta Elementary, today Sar Academy, but a very pale resemblance to what Yeshiva Rabbi Israel Solanta was, and Sar Academy, Solanta Akiva Riverdale, two different merges there, Solanta Akiva, then Riverdale. It's the way the Jews moved around in the greater Bronx. And they'll say, huh, how should we address you? Rabbi Aaron, Aaron, Arnie. And they're so frightened. I say, you know me as Arnie? Absolutely address me as Arnie. Nothing makes me happier. Well, who's right? Arnie, Herbie, Glenda, or Aaron, Chaim, Zahava, who's right? Look at the Ramban. The Ramban raises the question, why don't we have Hebrew names for the month of the year? Who heard of these names? Chaldean, Babylonian. Think for a minute, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Why not beautiful Hebrew names? Chodesh Ziv, we have allusions in Nach. And the Ramban says, "Chazanu lekra chadashim b'shem shenikruim ba'aretz bavel lahaskir ki sham amadnu umisham he'aleinu hakadosh baruch hu." And he goes on and on. That very important. Remember where you come from. Remember where you were. Remember what the surroundings were. And you lifted yourself. You enhanced yourself. You improved yourself. Ein hachinami. Today, Ani is Aaron. Herbie is Chaim. Glenda is Zahava. But don't forget, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu. Avadim hayinu leparo. V'achshav keravnu hamakom. God brought us close and turned us into the heroic, majestic Jewish people. Am hatorani. And let me go one step further. You notice we're coming and no one yet knows how we're going to solve the problem of how we daven on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. It's not a simple challenge, both where you are in Chutz Laretz, and both here in Admat HaKodesh, Al Admat HaKodesh. But there's no question that one of the central themes of Yom Kippur is Tshuva. And part of Tshuva, look into the Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam paskins lahalacha chayav lehitvadot lifnei hakel baruch hu. And you have to admit, you have to publicly announce your sins. You have to confess your sins. And the Rambam goes on, v'chol hamabel lehitvadot umarech b'inyin zeh hareza meshubach. The more you confess, the more you talk, the more you acknowledge, the more you clap on chait, it is admirable, it is good, it's desirable. Why? Why is this so important? Once again, it's the same theme. A human being will be totally different if he remembers where he came from, who he was. Yes, today he achieved. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's Medakde Kala Kachamura. But you will be a much more humble, understanding person if you remember who you were. Al Chait, Al Chait, Al Chait. And I call your attention, in Israel, we have many Balei Tshuva who have mainstreamed today. It's a little bit different than the original tshuva push, going back to the post Yom Kippur, post not Yom Kippur War, but the 6 Day War, enhanced by the Yom Kippur War. And then many of the Baalei Tshuva simply left the world, secluded themselves, disappeared, wanted to make up for years that they lost and didn't learn and didn't understand and didn't live a Jewish life. Uri Zohar is a prime example. Now there are so many more Baalei Tshuva, and the Rebbeim, at least in some of the schools that help these people who are seeking, encourage them. Go back to where you came from. Remain in the mainstream. Don't seclude yourself. And you have Baalei Tshuva who worked in Hollywood, who were movie producers, who knew how to put a documentary together that could win a prize as the top honest, intellectual, insightful documentary of the year. The Rakefet Award for such a documentary I give to the 10-part series done for Israeli TV by Baalei Tshuva, about Baalei Tshuva, Shuv Nipagesh. I believe I have the right title. We Will Meet Again. And it's about 5 different Baalei Tshuva who separated from part of their family. And many years later, Baalei Tshuva come to them, those that no longer talk to the part of the family that became frum, and say, we're willing to be intermediaries and bring you together with your family. And it is such an insightful documentary. These are not actors. These are real people. I know some of the people who star in this documentary. And it is so heartwarming, so insightful, so much to think about, talk about, expand about. But an underlying theme, don't forget where you came from. You can climb the biggest mountain and enjoy and receive Matan Torah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But remember, Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. We don't chop statues out of the past. We enhance them. We take them further. We build upon them. We stand on their soldiers. Humility, humbleness, meekness, love, understanding goes a long way for Kirov Levavot. Go one step further until I get to Inyan Diyoma. Beautiful, beautiful thought. Heard this from the Rav in a Tshuva Drasha many years ago. Gemara in Yom Kippur, Pei Vav Amid Bet, 86b. Amar Ish Lakish, Gedola Tshuva Shezdonot Nasotlash Kishkagat. And then they have another quote that contradicts it from Ish Lakish. Gedola Tshuva Shezdonot Nasotlo Kishkuyot. What a contradiction. And what does it mean? How can you have 2 different concepts? That tshuva is fabulous. It takes willful sins, willful transgressions, and are turned into inadvertent errors. All right? We can understand that. He was a zadon. He didn't know anybody. He was Machal Shabbos. He was an Eichel Nevelot and Treifat Lo Aleinu. He was influenced by the Western world, by the values of the New York Times and the values of Haaretz and Lo Aleinu part of Marav and a good deal of Yediyot Achronot. He's introduced by these values. All right, now, Deshkagot. He didn't know any better. But how can you have a viewpoint, I'm reading from the Schottenstein translation, that willful transgressions are accounted for the penitent as merits? merits. What's going on here? Guy sinned? Zadon? And years later, God looks upon it. His sins were merits for him. Merits, schuyot. I can understand shogeg. And the Rav said so beautifully, there are two types of balei tshuva. There's one type of balei tshuva, yes, I was a zadon, I was a sinner, I was part of the crowd. Then I did tshuva, I live a Torah life. Fine, it becomes shogeg. But there are sinners who, when they repent, look back at what they did, how much ability, how much zest, how much energy I put into my sinful life. Then they take that energy, they take that zest, they take that ability, and they utilize it constructively. It's not just that I'm a Baal Teshuva. I'm taking what I learned as a sinner and now utilizing it for zchut, merit, positive achievement. And this is a very healthy Torah approach. Don't forget where we came from. Don't chop down statues. Try to understand the past. Try to comprehend what caused the problems, the difficulties, the sad encounters. Try to recognize how we can correct, how we can mend, how we can now utilize the past to make our present state so much more meaningful, successful, sanctified. Kedoshim tihiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, v'hayitam li skula mikol ha'amim. When we comprehend what we're heading for, what we want to achieve, wow, the zonot of the past become a stepping stone, a launching pad for greatness in Torah and Yirat Shemayim. I want to talk a little bit about the second greatest miracle that has happened to the Jewish people since the Holocaust. The Six-Day War woke us up. I'm sitting here on Admat HaKodesh more than 51 years. I was a B'nai Kivanek. Malka and I married. Yes, we spoke about Aliyah. But I was teaching and the Rav complimented me. I can even quote the compliment until today. I'm very proud of you. You can inspire high school boys to study Tosfos with zest. All right, I hope I was a fairly good Rebbe my years in America, 62 to 69 at YU. I would have remained in America. Six-Day War woke us up. Couldn't find peace outside of Israel. It was a great miracle, but it didn't only wake us up. Let me tell you something about Russia. Something that I learned in my work for the Mossad. Something that I was told in communist Russia. Said something beautiful. Here they were totally cut off from any Jewish identity, any rabbis, any learning. But everyone had to have a television. You borrowed money from where you worked, they gave you 100 rubles for a television, paying back 1 ruble a year for 100 years. Why were they so anxious for you to have television? Halavai, I could show you the television that we saw in Russia. Total propaganda. When the newscast, I was always worried they couldn't stand up, they would just fall over. He would be sitting there giving the news with so many medals on his chest. It was a sight to see. So Six-Day War, there was the three-week waiting period after Nasser blocked the Straits of Tehran. And those 3 weeks, the Russian television showed the Arabs with the Russians gleefully clapping their hands. In a few weeks, there'll be no more State of Israel. And they showed the poor Jews. First they would show the Arab armies training, and then they would show how frightened the Jews were. Videos or movies of boys and girls in Yerushalayim digging trenches to stop the Russian tanks, the Jordanian tanks, the Russian-issued Jordanian tanks, the Syrian tanks, Iraqi tanks. And my friends in Russia, members of the Refusnik, Siruvnik community, told me when we looked at the television, we plucked our ears, we didn't listen to what the newscaster, the Karyan, was saying. We looked at the boys and girls and realized they're our cousins, our brothers, our sisters. And it reawakened Jewish identity. The rest is history. I need not repeat what I trust all of you know. And ultimately, this Russian Aliyah was the greatest gift that the State of Israel could receive outside of its military victories. It changed the entire country, brought in well over 1 million Jews, perhaps another 400,000 who want to be part of Israel. It financially put the country in such a much stronger basis, gave us so much for our hospitals, for our army, for our high-tech, endless Russians with ability and training and degrees, fabulous contribution to the country. But of course, on the religious level of understanding who they are, where they're coming from, that was the greatest challenge of all. You have the Chok HaShvut, which is the most famous law adopted by the Knesset in Tul Terei. No one even dares to mention we will change it. And the Chok HaShvut is to undo Hitler. Hitler had a rule, if you were one quarter Jewish, one grandparent Jewish, you were Jewish and deserved to die for being born a Jew. The Chok HaShvut said, if you're one quarter Jewish, you have the right to come in Aliyah. The country welcomes you with open arms. And if you interpret this on a practical level, you can have a family with one grandfather Jewish. Children aren't Jewish. It follows the mother, not the father. And you can have one grandfather, and it brings many children, grandchildren to Israel, halachically not Jewish. The Jews themselves, how many learned, how many studied? Yes, the inner core that was affected by the reawakening after the Six-Day War, after the Yom Kippur War, there you had Jewish consciousness, Jewish knowledge. But afterwards, the masses running away from what was left of communist Russia, running away from the former Soviet Union, many of them were still in the state of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Avadim Hayinu Leparo, Avadim Hayinu to communist ideology, socialist ideology, Bundist ideology. Some of them were more sophisticated, and perhaps it's an even worse ideology, the New York Times, the Western world, the culture which today runs the world. Please listen to my talk on Corona. God is telling us there's a God in the world. We say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If you work for Haaretz, you say a different Shema. If your name is Yosef, you say, Shema Yosef, Yosef Elokeinu, Yosef Echad. He decides everything. Why? Of religion is going to tell me what to do. Rabbanim are going to tell me what to do. Ancient Sfarim are going to tell me what to do. He decides abortions, start of life, euthanasia, the end of life, how you live life, same-sex marriages, lo aleinu, buses on Shabbat, you have to go to the beach, democracy. Wow, what a conflict. And this is the tremendous challenge to us as thinking, caring, responsible, conscious Jews who walk with the breath of history. These are our brethren. We have to reach them. We have to inspire them. We have to greet them. And we have an obligation to live a Torah life that will be so attractive, so inspiring, so meaningful, so deep with understanding and learning and Yirat Shamayim and relationship between husband and wife, between children and parents, between Jew to fellow Jew. Kezera e v'kadesh. And this is the greatest challenge to our generation. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam she'akol nihyeh b'dvarav. Not just enough outreach, inspiration, but to deliver the message, nothing to be ashamed about. Yes, that's where we came from. That's how we were educated. That's how we grew up. Those were the values we were exposed to. Now, take all that zest, all that vim, all that vigor, all that you put in to your past, take it and utilize it to enhance yourself, your family, the people of Israel, the land of Israel, and show when we follow the Torah of Israel, we are part of the great romance of the Jewish people. It is a privilege. We should have pride. What a story we are part of. Who heard of any other nation, any other people, thousands of years old, all that we went through? Go back in history, the Crusades, the Inquisition, and look, Hitler, beyond comprehension. And out of the ashes, think how this country was built. Impoverished immigrants coming in with the shirt on their back and not even a clean shirt. Against all odds, having survived Hitler. The Arab Jewish masses who had to run for their lives, as you all know what happened in 47 and 48 and 49, and what was Baruch Hashem brought in, the magic carpet, Yemen, Ethiopia, the Russian emigration, and each emigration had tremendous internal problems. You're taking survivors who were traumatized by Hitler, families that didn't know how they survived. You're taking immigrants who went from the port and joined the army, survived Hitler, and died, some of them without any relatives in the world, unidentified until today, in the battles of 48 and 49. You're taking immigrants from countries that were so much more primitive than the Western world, and here they're coming into Israel. We had our problems, second rate, the Mabarat looked down upon. The Romanians got out of the Mabarat very quickly, and yet the masses of the Arabic worlds, Jewish, did not come out so quickly. The scars, some of these scars remain until today in the state of Israel. You take the Russians, you see what's happening, you take Avigdor Lieberman, a classic example of the difficulty we face. His own wife, his own children became Shomrei Torah and Mitzvot 100%, and yet you don't have a politician who has been more anti-Torah in public than Avigdor Lieberman, dividing the people, causing chasms, causing vitriolic statements that I don't even want to quote. And this is the heart of the problem, the heart of the challenge. But thank God we have these challenges. We can meet them. We can handle them. We can conquer them. We can defeat them. Metchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu, avadim hayinu laparo. But thank God we have today Torah, teachers of Torah in every language. And this, of course, if I can say a few words about Shvut Ami, and let's talk about the past. I'm recording this in my room in Grish Kollel. This is the building that I was privileged to get for Yeshiva University from Mr. Joe Gruss, Zichrona Livracha. We're talking back in 1975, 76. It's actually 76 when I got the building. It's a story, I tell the story in Washington. Every word there is 1,000% true, not just 100% true. My whole conversation with Mr. Gruss in the lobby of the King David Hotel. And what was the greatness of BMT? What changed the whole Anglo-Torah world? And BMT, which began in 69, I'm the sole surviving member of the original faculty. I was a kid, but there were Gedolim Sheva Aretz, the original teachers in BMT. And Nechama Leibovich, Rabbi Mann, others, fabulous faculty. Heidi Horowitz, the dean, let's give credit. But the concept was English to English speakers. When years later I helped organize Shvut Ami, when I came back from Russia the first time in 1981, we utilized the same concept, Russian to Russian speakers. There's no need, this comes back to the Ramban, no need to become a total Israeli overnight. We come from Bavel, we come from Russia, we come from America. Our children will integrate a lot better than we will. You know my vat, lech lecha, me'atzecha, mi'molatcha, mi'beit avicha. The order is wrong. Lech lecha, me'atzecha, you leave the land, America. When we went in Aliyah, the boat left America last. That should be last. Molatcha. All right, we left New York State, no big deal. New Jersey, Beit Avicha, that's the last thing. Lechem Atchem, Lechem Beit Avicha, that's what you leave first, your father's house. Your local surroundings, the order should be exactly the reverse. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knew what a human being is. He created a human being. And you have feeling. Beit Avicha, the hardest thing to leave. If you don't have warm feeling for your youth, the psychologists are going to do very well, panasa-wise, off you later in life. Beit Avicha, it's where you grew up. The barbershop around the corner, the AMP up the block, the Third Avenue well, the New York Yankees. Wow. All right, there were shuls. Shiva Salanta, afterwards Sifra Moshe, Beit Avicha, the hardest to leave. Atzecha, Mela, all right, America, wonderful, good, but not that difficult to say goodbye, Arava. Moladetcha, New York State, I'm talking in my time, I'm not talking today, when you can spit in the face and bloody up a police officer, high-ranking officer, and you walk away. They said, report back, give you a 2 months from now. No bail, no nothing. It's beyond words what has happened. But don't take the past and totally disregard it. Don't be ashamed of it. You don't have to become a total Israeli overnight. No one has the key to total happiness. You have to achieve in your life the beautiful balance where I came from, what I am, what the goals are, and how we will achieve it. So if I can reiterate and complete, yes, Shvatami has done a lot of good with the Russians. We're not the only player in the field, but over the decades we have been a very important influence. We have helped, we must continue to help. Corona will end, Be'ezrat Hashem, the sooner the better. But there's still many Jews here, Russian origins. Soon we have tens of thousands, they say, coming in from the United States. Halavai, it should all increase our strength in mutual understanding and assistance. And never forget, Ani is Ani. Fine, your great-grandchildren will not know what the word Ani means, but we were raised there. They're here. It's life, the Haggadah. Potchim b'gnai and ending b'shvach, the Mishnah in Psachim. And I want to end off with a beautiful Gemara in Psachim, Daf Peichet Amir Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gadol kibud skaliyot ki yom shenivru bo shamayim va'aretz. And I'll read the Shachistin translation that the day of the ingathering exiles will be as momentous as the day when heaven and earth were created. Now what does it mean? The Shatnustin Gemara is troubled by this too. And he quotes the Masha's explanation. The material of the heaven and earth and all they contain was created ex nihilo, yesh me'ayin. There was nothing there when creation began. Everything God had to put together. It is this day specifically that is called the day when heaven and earth were created. On the other days, the material was merely shaped and set in place. The miracle of the final redemption will be so wondrous that it will be analogous to creation ex nihilo. And what the Mashar is saying, explaining the Gemara, is exactly the theme of what we've spoken about. You begin sometimes with next to nothing. There's nothing there. It's just the Jew running away. But that Jew is coming home. And all that past experience, whether he's coming from Russia, whether he's coming from the United States today, take that past experience. See how you utilized it. What energies you used, you discharge, take it and now sanctify it. Use it to achieve the ultimate redemption, the ultimate kibbutz galut, the ultimate moment of Biat Mashiach. And what is the goal? It's a very simple sentence. Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al Pi Torah Yisrael. Thank you very much. I want to express my thanks to Rabbi David Kufnis, who continues to help Shvat Ami keep afloat during these difficult times. And I want to express my best wishes and love to all my students listening, to all my friends, to all my colleagues. And Be'ezrat Hashem, the next time we should be together, in person, able to hug and inspire each other, l'kavod u'l'tiferet. Thank you very much, until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya.